Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the formal part of our proceedings, we always begin with a discussion about the response to the question, how are the children? And the reason we ask that question is because we know that when our children are cared for, our community is a better place. And what we do is we invite people in from our community, young people, because often they have wonderful ideas that they share with us and things that give us a better perspective on the needs of youth. This morning we have three sixth graders from Gilkey International Middle School. Allie, Sven, and Corey, could you folks come forward, please, and sit in these chairs? And the Gilkey International Middle School is the middle school program of the French American International School, which offers French-based classes at preschool through elementary levels. And these young folks have been there, and they've volunteered to come in and speak. So whoever wants to lead off, please go ahead and just introduce yourself by your name.
Okay. I'm Allie. Hi, my name is Allie Cohen. I live in Northwest Portland in Forest Heights. It's a great neighborhood with a Starbucks, Pizza Cotta, school park, and much more. The views off of Skyline are gorgeous, and the houses are beautiful inside. I have one suggestion, though. While Forest Heights is a wonderful neighborhood, we have no public bus service. This is a problem because it makes it difficult to do certain things with Forest Heights being such a big neighborhood. And I really don't think it's fair to make us pay for our own bus service while the rest of Portland doesn't have to. It's just a greater need in Forest Heights as it is elsewhere. It'd be very helpful to the community because kids could ride it to school and adults could ride it to work. You could take it to the shopping center, park, and it would make life easier. Right now, the closest bus stop is on Cornell, about 7/10 of a mile away, according to TriMet.org. It may not seem very far, but to a worker with heavy briefcases, it will take much longer. In addition to that, the terrain is very hilly. Many other residents and I would like a route nearer. To make this happen, I would suggest having the bus route 60 along Northwest Cornell and 107th take a loop through Forest Heights and come out by the entrance. I thank you for your time and hope you'll take my idea into consideration.
Hello, I'm Sven Burke, and I live in Alameda Ridge neighborhood in Northeast Portland. Alameda Ridge is a nice neighborhood with lots of trees and families. My hopes for Portland is that we get more professional sports teams so people and kids have more people to look up to instead of SpongeBob and other cartoon characters. And one of my concerns for Portland is that the bridges collapse and people don't go to school, jobs, and home, which might be on the other side of the river. And a way I think we can solve this is by having bridges checked and rebuilt and stuff. And I understand you have been fixing up the Fremont and St. John's bridges, but it still could collapse like in Mississippi or Missouri, I forget which one. But it had a bridge collapse and they thought it was all fine and dandy, but then it collapsed. So, and it's also expensive, so you could have a small tax on the professional sports team tickets. And if no professional sports teams wants to come in, then you can start your own. Like, instead of having Beavers go to Padres, have them go to our professional sports team. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, Sven.
Hello, my name is Corey Martinez, and I'm 12 years old. I live in Portland, Oregon, and I was born here. I want to live in a city that is clean, livable, friendly, and green for the environment. The environment is very important to me. When I go to my grandma's house, I look out her window and I see a beautiful natural river and forest. In 10 years, I can expect the forest to be gone. I want you to protect all our natural resources so my generation can enjoy the same view that I enjoy whenever I go to my grandma's house. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you very much. Very interesting topics from bus service to collapsing bridges to preserving our environment. You know, just this year we added some land to our natural environment. The part of Ross Island was donated to the city, so that will be preserved. And Commissioner Saltzman is in charge of all our park system and does a really good job of trying to preserve our natural environment. So thank you for that. And as far as the bridges go, quite frankly, the only one I'm worried about at this point is the Selwood Bridge. But they're working very hard to try to either, rebuild build a new bridge rather than try to rebuild the existing one. We've heard the discussion about the TriMet service up in Forest Park, and we haven't. We have passed that information along to TriMet, which is actually responsible for the development of that kind of service, and I'm not sure where it's at. It sounds like it still hasn't gone anywhere. So thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate it. Let's give these young folks a hand. You can stay for the formal part, but it may not be quite as interesting as the part we just had. So, City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Good morning. Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the communication.
Agenda item 39, request of Brian Greer to address Council regarding Portland Peaceful Response Coalition and free speech in Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Thank you for being here, sir. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Yes. My name is Brian Greer. I'm speaking today on behalf of Portland Peaceful Response Coalition to inform you of troubling developments in relation to our exercise of free speech and to request your consideration of the important issues that are raised thereby. Portland Peaceful Response Coalition was formed on the evening of 9/11. It initiated a weekly series of demonstrations at the corner of Pioneer Courthouse Square, which has continued for more than 6 years. With support of a strong majority of our fellow citizens, we exercise the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. In recent weeks, PPRC has been approached by employees of Portland Patrol Incorporated, PPI, objecting to our use of a battery-operated megaphone and to the use of drums. Typically, speeches are made for 5 to 10 minutes at the corner of the square, followed by a march around downtown Portland. We have never received a complaint about noise. On December 21st, the City of Portland Noise Control Officer, accompanied by a representative of Pioneer Courthouse Square, Inc., and by a member of the Portland Patrol, informed us that if we use either the megaphone or drums, individuals will be cited. We are arranging a meeting with the noise control officer and others, together with our legal advisors, and we expect the matter to be resolved in a manner that reaffirms our rights under the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. PPRC operates on the presumption that its activities can be carried on within the law. However, as has been shown throughout history, there are times when bad or wrongly enforced laws need to be challenged. There are much, much higher stakes at issue here than the fine print of noise control ordinances. The most fundamental issue is that of free speech, which at this point in the history of the United States is endangered as rarely before. It is ironic that we should be embroiled in legal niceties about making noise while exercising free speech, when one of our major themes is that the current regime has broken all manner of laws, international and domestic, including the prosecution of a war of aggression. A second issue is the pervasive trend towards transferring military, policing, and security duties to private companies whose motivation is profit and which are unencumbered by accountability. Thirdly, there is the real and symbolic nature of Pioneer Courthouse Square as a public resource proudly created, literally brick by brick, by and for the citizens of Portland. We request the City Council to consider these implications, and we also invite you to join us at 5 o'clock any Friday afternoon as we campaign for democracy and social justice. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. that it?
That's the only communications, yes.
Okay. We'll move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does any member of this audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. We'll move to the 9:30 time certain. Please read the time certain.
Item 40, accept Citizen Review Committee and Independent Police Review Division report, officer use of vehicle towing.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
My name is Lauren Erickson. I'm with the Citizen Review Committee.
Michael Bigham, also with the Citizen Review Committee.
Hank Megan, Citizen Review Committee. Mayor, Council, good morning. We are presenting today a report resulting from a work group activity of the Citizen Review Committee. The Citizen Review Committee is a committee of 9 volunteers appointed by you to provide some oversight of police activity. We monitor police policies, training, and have whole hearings on citizens-initiated complaints. When we conduct our hearings and we encounter issues of concern, we usually appoint a work group to delve further into that concern. The report that we are presenting today is a result of one of those hearings, one of those studies, and Mr. Bingham will provide you with the discussion.
Thank you, Chairman Minkins. In the spring of 2006, a work group was formed to look at tow policies for the city of Portland and to determine if the current Portland Police Bureau tow policies and procedures needlessly aggravate the public. And if so, what can be done to improve citizen satisfaction? To achieve that mission, we reviewed a sample of recent citizen-initiated complaints, each of which involved at least one allegation of improper or incorrect tow. Committee members interviewed commanders and captains of the Portland Police Bureau, the City of Portland's tow coordinator, Marilyn Gaylord, Gary Frank, the city tow hearings officer, Rebus Shippers, the tow hearings clerk, David Warbill, deputy city attorney, and Monica Garaki of the Oregon Law Center. Over the course of 16 months, the work group held 19 meetings open to the public where we heard concerns from citizens, police officers, public officials, and tow operators. The results are the recommendations that are in your packet, the colored sheet. By far, these meetings were the best attended meetings by the public since I've been a member of CRC. We learned a couple of things. Towing and impound are hot button issues with the public. And unfortunately, we found that a lot of the issues were issues beyond our purview, were issues not just with police tows, but with towing in general. And so we're hoping that this will spur a discussion within the community about how the city handles tows. Thank you.
That is our presentation.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, please go ahead.
What did you think of the chief's response reasons for not accepting your recommendation to analyze the use of vehicle impounds to determining patterns of impounds that may be based on economic status, race, neighborhoods, or officers involved?
I think on reflection, I would agree that some of those things are hard to determine, like economic status, neighborhood. But I think that towing and impounds are a powerful tool for the police and also could be a powerful weapon. And I think that perhaps the racial profiling committee that the mayor has set up should use that or look at those statistics just to see, make sure that towing is not used as a tool against certain portions of the community.
She says that it is not entirely clear how such an analysis would be possible with current resources. For example, how would the Bureau determine the economic status of drivers whose vehicles were towed. So do you imagine a survey being given folks that have their cars towed in order to collect the data? Or when some of you, I know, Hank, have run operations. Can you imagine how this would work operationally?
I think it would probably be pretty difficult to determine that, because I could be driving an old car into a high-income neighborhood and be towed for whatever transaction. It doesn't mean that I am economically deprived because I'm driving an old car. So those kinds of things get in the way. However, a survey could be done of the people who have received repeated tows. I think that would probably be the best avenue to look at.
One of the things that I see that Chief Berg is here. I don't know if you wanted to address any of this, but I did ask the chief to contact some of the national police organizations, such as International Chiefs of Police, the Police Executive Research Forum, and others, to determine if this is an issue around the United States, if there's been any review of it or any models that have been developed as a result to try to deal more effectively with the issue of whether towing of vehicles has bias to it.
So they're going to get back to you.
So they're going to review that material and then look at what we do next. We could then take that material and also have folks come in and testify at the racial profiling committee. So there's a number of options that we're going to look at.
Thank you.
So, Michael, was there something that you saw in the analysis that caused you to have that concern?
When we reviewed the cases, there wasn't any overt evidence, but we saw in several of the cases the officer would say something like, well, didn't I tow your car last week, or didn't I stop you a couple weeks ago? And we kind of made us wonder if there was a problem. There wasn't evidence of a problem, but it just kind of made us wonder that maybe it was an issue that should be looked at.
And just to put this in context, as I recall, you're a retired police officer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and which I want to point out that Lauren's a retired firefighter. Just for those that are concerned about the objectivity of this group, and there has been concerns, this is probably not directly related to your report, concerns about appointments that include firefighters, police officers group, how objective they can be. My point's always been that sometimes the harshest eyes put on some of these issues are colleagues. So I appreciate your work, appreciate, you know, your stature in coming at a lot of these issues, which I fully expected, but I think a number of people may not have. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to just thank you, too, for your taking a look at this issue. I've certainly been on enough ride-alongs where I've seen police tows ordered, and while I feel they're perfectly justified, you know, part of me also feels a little sympathetic to somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning suddenly finding themselves without a means to get home or to go anywhere. So I think there is some room for more humane applications of the police tow policy, and I think you've hit upon it in your recommendations. I'm glad Chief Sizer has incorporated, I think, all of those into her directive. So I think it is a great issue, and I'm glad that the Citizen Review Committee did form a policy subgroup to look at this. So thanks for your work.
Yeah. Yes, thank you all. I think this is another thing that the Citizen Review Committee does very well, and I think it's a real bonus to this city to have folks like you that are willing to give up your time to look at these issues, and that sometimes an outside perspective really helps give a fresh perspective in terms of things that need to change. So thank you very much for that. Chief, did you want to address anything? Okay. Any questions for Assistant Chief Berg? Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
How many folks are signed to testify?
We have 4 people signed up.
Okay, please call the first 3.
Bob Wilson, Dan Handelman, and Martha Perez.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
My name is Bob Wilson. I'm one of 2 industry representatives on the City of Portland Towing Board of Review. I find it strange that none of us was contacted by this committee during their hearings and investigations. The tow operators that they referred to are unknown to us, and we are the contract towers. The tower is totally responsible for the vehicle and its contents until it is returned to the owner. We're required to have insurance and be bonded as a condition of the contract. Vehicles are towed by and stored in our lots do not burden the city in any way. The final disposal of these vehicles is also our responsibility at no cost to the city. The towers under contract to the city are faced with fine, suspension, or revocation for violations. In 2006, about 32,600 vehicles were towed at police request. In 2007, around 30,800 vehicles were towed. The current contract has been in effect since October of 2003. And during that time, the towing coordinator who is employed by the City of Portland has received 6 complaints of missing items from a vehicle. Perhaps those of us in the towing industry are becoming overly sensitive. Between the media, politicians, and people with little knowledge of what they speak, we seem to be popular whipping boys. For this report to be accepted and acted upon by the city with no input or even knowledge of its existence by our industry reminds me of, where are those weapons of mass destruction? Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and members of council. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. And it's not often that Portland Cop Watch comes up to you to be supportive of the Citizen Review Committee's work and the Police Bureau's response. But in this case, we are mostly satisfied with the recommendations being made. And we're even more pleased that CRC has finally completed what is its third policy review in its 5-year history. And I don't know if you realize this, but this was its first ever presentation of a policy recommendation before council this morning. That said, we also support the CRC's work group in their efforts to convince Chief Sizer to collect data on the race, economic status, and other information on people and officers involved in traffic stops. As a member of the mayor's work group on racial profiling, I know that officers currently key in such information at every traffic stop about the people they stop, search, and ticket. I would think it would not cost very much more money to add towing to this data. It's also important to look at the possibility of disproportionate tows of African-American drivers, since we know that, despite being only 7% of Portland's population, African-American residents are stopped in 14% of traffic stops, 24% of pedestrian and bicycle stops. They make up 27% of arrests. They make up 29% of people who have force used against them, and 30% of those who have firearms pointed at them. Along with Latinos, they represent roughly 33% of those who were shot at by police in the past 11 years. We're 64% of those excluded from drug-free zones, and we're 100% of those cited for being parents of curfew violators. It's distressing that after a consultant called the Bureau intellectually uncurious about the racial imbalance in drug-free zone exclusions, that the chief was not willing to look at these statistics, but I'm glad to hear the mayor's talking to the Bureau about this. We'd also like to remind council that you talked about asking PSU to help look at why so many people of color are shot at by police in a city that is 77% white when the Park Report came out last January, and I think, Commissioner Adams, you were particularly interested in that idea. Finally, Portland Cop Watch recommended the CRC ask the Bureau to consider charging a sliding scale based on the book value of the person's car to help make tows less onerous for lower-income individuals and their families. A few people from the city expressed they felt that could be difficult to implement, so our idea is now merely a mention in the CRC's cover letter to you. But we hope you'll consider this as a related recommendation to the attention that will be given when officers are thinking of towing cars that are people's homes, that people are living in. And we thank, again, the CRC for their work on this and to Chief Sizer for accepting most of the recommendations, and we hope that council will push forward on the statistical recommendation that has been rejected. I think the fact that this is only the third policy review that's come forward out of the CRC in 5 years, and that the number of appeals hearings have been trickling off in the last few years, are things that we hope to see addressed in the consultant's reports that's due out to come out next Tuesday, and we're really hoping that the consultant will be able to come up here and present that report, and we've asked members of council to wait, you know, a few weeks so the community has a chance to digest the report before that presentation is made, and we're looking forward to that discussion about the IPR and the CRC and their structure.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning and Happy New Year to all of you. My name is Martha Perez. I reside at 920 Northwest Kearney Street, number 110, Portland, 97209. And I'm here in general support of what has already been said regarding this issue. I do believe, too, that it greatly impacts minority communities, and I hate that word, minority communities here in Portland and beyond, and feel that I do commend the mayor, Mayor Potter, for meeting with the Native American community, for example, a few months ago and giving, you know, just listening to that community and the process that we went through with that. And I really, you know, keep doing what you're doing. I think that part of it is really good. I like the idea of statistical information and deferring that to PSU and other institutions to take ownership and sharing that information and results and findings with the greater public. So it's not a perfect system. I understand that. But with public input, like hearings like this, I think, you know, it makes it a better process anyway. So just really the racial hatred, you know, that I sensed during the Cesar Chavez fiasco, and I'm sorry to bring that up, just was something I'd never really experienced before in a formal setting like this. And it felt overwhelming at times. So, you know, what do we do about that? You know, I don't have the answer to that question, but certainly by us working together like this and continuing this dialogue, yeah, I think, you know, possible solutions will come. And just, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I am taking a run for city commissioner and sending out information about that. So I'm just inspired by all of you for listening to our concerns as a community, and hope you have a successful new year. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson, I have a question. After listening to your testimony, I went back and looked at the recommendations. Which specific ones in the recommendations do you think you should have been consulted about?
Well, I think the sampling, you know, if you compare the numbers, first off, code hearings only has to do with whether or not it was a valid tow, has nothing to do with the towers.
And so I'm actually looking
property, at it. Property missing out of the vehicle does have something to do with the towers. And the part that I was concerned with is the fact that, you know, most of us, I am shaped a little bit like a football, but recently between what the state's done and the problems that we've had with, you know, towing and the unhappiness and the media coverage, that we're concerned that this will rub off on us.
Well, but some of that's self-inflicted, I hope you understand. And I'm looking at these recommendations, and I really don't understand.
Well, basically, those recommendations are made to the police officers, right, not to the towing companies.
Right. It has to do with the police bureaus calling for a tow,
right,
and the fairness of it. So I'm.
But I was saying that 150 complaints of whether the tow was valid out of over 30,000 tows is not a large sampling.
But that's a complaint to the police bureau about the police,
right,
bureau's actions, not your actions.
Right.
I don't think anybody intentionally didn't involve you. I don't think that this applies to you.
Our feeling is that it does. It does involve us. You know, inventorying the vehicles is probably a good idea. A lot of the other police agencies do inventory the vehicles, but, you know, we do not search the cars. We only write down what we can see in the car.
The way it sounds is you don't want the police to do an inventory of the vehicle, and you're objecting to that. So I'm not sure.
Not at all.
I understand your objection.
This morning at coffee, I talked to several Portland police officers, and, you know, they said that they thought that these ideas were excellent, but that they weren't very practical, like waiting 30 minutes for somebody to get there to pick up their car without knowing whether the car runs or drives. You know, if you don't have the keys, you don't know. And other things. Right.
Again, it sounds like you're trying to preserve your business and not be fair. And I think one of the issues.
I think we're very fair. I mean, every day I deal with somebody that's got a problem that their car was towed and try to help them out. You know, whether they're homeless people or whether they don't have any money, you know, that's our money that we give away. And I deal with that every day. That happens to be the main part of my job at where I work. You know, we're a small business. All of the towers are small businesses. There's 28 different contracts. Each one of those is a small business. We employ probably 300 people in the city. We have 150 tow trucks available to the city if they're needed. And, you know, we're 24/7 just like fire and police.
Thank you, folks. Call the fourth.
Our last person is Gary Coe.
Thanks for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Sir, good morning, Mayor Potter and commissioners. My name is Gary Coe from Speed Super Tow. I'd like to comment on the recommendation. We overall from the industry support the recommendation, particularly number 5, that requires the inventorying of vehicles, because that will help solve any complaints of that type. And number 6, where it gives people the opportunity to come after their car before it's towed, if it's available. There's no sense in them being a victim twice. First, their car is stolen. Second of all, they have a tow bill that they didn't ask for. And unlike the other vast majority of police tows, that somebody committed a crime and part of their punishment is getting their car towed. We are frankly concerned, as Bob Wilson mentioned, about the fact that we were not included. The Citizen Review Committee says they have testimony from officers and tow operators. We don't know who those tow operators were. They certainly weren't the major players in town. And we're all looking at each other, scratching our heads, saying, okay, if they're talking about towing in the city, it seems like the contractors would be involved. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with this, but the overall media attention that this drew about missing things out of cars, we are frankly outraged and frustrated that is the way the media took this, because if you have 6 complaints over 4.5 years of the current contract, that's a pretty small percentage, and I'm going to guess that at least half of those complaints had no merit. That's all.
But in essence, though, you support the recommendation on the inventory to avoid having those questions arise.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. It's a report. I need a motion to accept in a second.
So moved.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank the group that did this review. I think it's an excellent review, especially Michael, Lauren, and Hank. I think it's a fair point that maybe more involvement from the industry in hindsight, but I think it's an excellent report, and I think the substance of it is on point, given the information that we have, and would look forward to the work that the mayor has asked the Bureau to do on the recommendation on how to, in a practical way, gather the information. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
Yeah, my view of the report has been it's more of a set of recommendations for the police bureau, not the towing industry, to be more careful about how they handle tows and to be fair about it. So from that perspective, I'm really pleased with the report and the work that the group did on it. I think they are an outstanding group of people we have on the CRC right now, and are very proactive. And this report, I think, serves the city well and reflects very well on our process. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, as I said earlier, I appreciate the policy work group tackling these recommendations. You know, I agree with Commissioner Leonard. I don't see this as an indictment at all on the towing industry. You know, maybe you've gotten bad publicity maybe for other issues and you're overly sensitive, but I think this really governs how police operate and call you into service. I don't think it's taking any issue with your service once you're called. I think this is really, as I said, it's a more humane policy, but by the same token, you know, I fully support police tows of cars, particularly for drivers who are driving while suspended or driving while uninsured or certainly driving under the influence. There should be no circumstance under which police should be hesitant to order a tow. It does have a sobering effect. Having said that, though, we need to realize that it does put people in a very difficult circumstance, often difficult hours of the day. And I think the recommendations here are a more humane approach, and I support them, and I'm glad that Chief Sizer has incorporated them. Aye.
Stan.
Well, I agree. This is a good step forward, and I think we can work more with the towing industry, but I think these make sense, and were done objectively. Also, I'm a little speechless that Dan Handelman's in agreement, and I'm not sure the Citizens Review Committee should take that as a bad thing. I think this is a sense that you're digging in and doing the policy work that we've asked you to do, and I greatly appreciate it. Aye.
Potter.
And I, too, want to thank the Citizens Review Committee. These are the kind of things that is good for the police bureau to have from time to time, an outside group looking at a particular policy and seeing how it can be better. We've been discussing, the chief and I, about the issue of providing more flexibility to officers in terms of what vehicles they tow, so that it's up until recently it was mandatory, all vehicles in certain conditions. So they're going to get more flexibility and also some additional education about the actual implementation of the Bureau's policies and procedures. And I think that overall this will help. I think, though, that in our society, poor people are disproportionately affected by all vehicle tows because they tend to often lack insurance, and thus when they are stopped, get a citation, thus leads to a suspension. I think that we've got to figure out a way to sort of level that playing field, but I guess today is not the day to do it. I just wanted to let the community know that I think this is of a concern and that at some point in our future we need to address that issue. Good job, everybody, and I also salute the Police Bureau in terms of taking immediate action to implement these recommendations. I vote aye. Please read the 10 a.m. time certain.
Item 41, appoint Andre Baugh, Irma Valdez, and Howard Shapiro, and reappoint Don Hansen to the Portland Planning Commission.
Are any of those folks here today?
I believe they're all here, Mayor.
Oh, good, good. If you folks could come forward, and I'll just, the Portland Planning Commission provides an important service by helping the community and the council shape and guide Portland's future. The candidates today represent a diverse group of Portlanders who bring a broad range of experience and skills with them and also individually possess the knowledge and love for Portland needed at this time on the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission will be charged at looking at a number of issues in the coming year, including drafting the Portland Plan and other plans that will guide the growth and development of Portland over the next 30 years. I'm proud for the Council's consideration today of the three new candidates and their reappointment of Commissioner Don Hansen. So with that, I'll turn it over to whoever would like to start. Please introduce yourself, and if you want to say a few words, obviously some of you look very familiar. Howard, you've certainly been around the track a few times, so we want to tell you how much we appreciate your willingness to step forward on this issue. Why don't we just start over there?
Why don't I begin? I'm Don Hansen, Mayor Potter, and I appreciate being reappointed to the commission and certainly appreciate the effort of you and your staff in providing us kind of a full slate of commissioners for the first time that I've been on. We have nine, and I'm looking forward to this year. We're embarking on the Portland Plan, so I think it's a very interesting time to be a planning commissioner in Portland. Thank you.
My name is Irma Valdez, and I was on the CRC, so I was really thrilled with the tow issue. We struggled with that when I was on the commission. And I moved here from Washington, D.C. 7 years ago, and Commissioner Sten asked me to consider serving on the commission. I'm thrilled. I love this city, and I'm honored to give back, helping create, you know, the most amazing city in the United States, even though I think that Portland is the number one city in the United States already. But I welcome serving on the commission. Thank you.
I'm Howard Shapiro. I heard somewhere in your remarks, Mayor Potter, something about 30 years, the next 30 years.
I plan to stick around for those 30 years, and I look around at my colleagues here and see that I probably have a few years on them. It's only coincidental that 15 years ago somebody gave me a quote from the Bhagwan that said, planning is bondage, and I kept it for a long time looking at it. I don't think planning is bondage at all. I think planning is critical, and at the risk of sounding a little over the top, I don't think Portland has ever been at a more critical time to look into the future and plan its future. People like Ms. Valdez are coming here as a result of the excitement of wanting to live in the community, and I think those of us who have been here a while are charged with the responsibility of continuing that exciting prospect. So it may seem odd that I'm standing up one more time and wanting to volunteer for a group, but I have never been more excited about an appointment than this. Planning is exactly what the city needs to look at, and I'm honored that you've put my name forward, and I hope you guys forget all the bad stuff and let me be confirmed. Thank you.
Andre, could you just move the microphone over towards the
slide?
Thank you.
My name's Andre Baugh, and Mayor, I want to first thank you for your staff recommending me to the Planning Commission. I look forward to the challenge. I think Howard talked about the challenge that Portland has in the future, and I've since back when I worked for transportation, working with Eric and probably working with all of you at some point, just enjoy the city and look back and look forward to providing as much input and hard work and addressing the challenges that are coming forward to the Planning Commission. So thank you, and thank you for your support.
Gil, did you wish to comment?
I just would say I'm really thrilled to have this slate. In addition to the great dynamic commission we have already, this really completes that table. And as a number of them have said, the involvement of people like these in the Portland plan effort, kind of as the steering committee, recommending things directly to council, is absolutely critical for this next couple of years or so. And I would also say that along with the mayor's staff, I was part of the interview process for these candidates and others, and we have a very deep bench. So in terms of appointments to other boards and commissions, we have a great list. We interviewed over 24 and have the names of others beyond that. We'll look for ways to get some of those other candidates involved in the Portland plan efforts in general, but if any of you are considering appointments to boards or commissions, we've got a great list. So I'm just thrilled to have these folks.
Comments from the commissioners? Questions?
Just to let you know, we do read these resumes. Howard, I see you're a trustee of the Nation magazine.
Wow, right?
Sounds great.
I am. Yes.
Is that like a...
Watch my back here.
Are you involved in editorial policy or just...
No, but I'm involved in a remarkable process of the Nation. If you have a moment, the Nation magazine has lost money for 138 years of its existence. And last year, courtesy of the current sitting president, it turned a profit. So we're kind of hoping that things will stay the same. But
we can't sacrifice four more years for your viability.
For your bottom line, yeah.
The Nation has that same attitude. We'd rather lose money and move the administration.
I say this every time we appoint Planning Commission members. It's being on the Planning Commission is one of the most intensive volunteer positions we have in the city in terms of the materials you read, the meetings you have. So I want to just thank you in advance, or thank Don for agreeing to another term, but thank all three of you for coming on board. It really is a very demanding and important position, so thanks.
Well, I also want to thank all four of these folks are top-notch, and we could not have a better planning commission at a time when we probably couldn't need it more. The Portland plan is going to be very important, and although we've expanded the central city that you're going to be looking so closely at, of course, you'll have land use cases and everything else throughout the city. But I think we more than ever, through Mayor Potter's leadership and the rest of the council and the neighborhoods, have figured that the central city is linked to the other neighborhoods. And we've always said that, but I think we're actually trying to make it happen with some innovative ideas on how to do urban renewal as well as this strategy. So I think I'm really glad this energized group wants to be there. I've worked with all four of these folks, Mayor, in different capacities. I did recruit Irma and asked her if she'd be willing to consider serving. I saw her and another friend, her husband, Steve, at a luncheon, and then privately told Steve to talk her out of it because I felt like, yeah, I had to be honest to him, too. It, as Commissioner Saltzman said, it's a whole lot of work. Howard, on the other hand, his wife encouraged me to get him a job like this that would keep him a little more busy. So different folks in different stages. But joking a little bit, I think this is going to be a tremendous amount of work, and I think you're going to be tremendously glad you did it, and I'm tremendously glad you're going to serve. So thank you.
I, too, want to thank you for signing on to this both very important job and very time-consuming job. My advice and request is that you, a couple of things. One, that we need to plan beyond just land use. That's one thing. The Portland plan needs to be more holistic than just land use. Second thing is, we've got 1 million people slated to be born and or coming to the region in the next couple of decades, 300,000 in the city of Portland, and we're not ready for it. Not in terms of the plan, not in terms of being able to implement any plan. Just on the transportation side, the regional transportation plan that is moving its way through the regional decision making, based on current revenues, we're expecting congestion in the best case scenario to increase threefold. That's in the best case scenario. And the last thing I'll say is to not assume that what has worked up to this point, you know, in the last 25 years, what has brought us the areas of success that we have is not necessarily doing it the same way going to ensure our success for the next 30 years. And ask you to be really creative with us in thinking through how we need to do things differently in the next 20, 25 years. So I really look forward to working with you. This is an incredibly important time for the city.
Thank you, folks, very much. This is a report. I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
You weren't overstating the case, Howard, that we're at a critical juncture. We are very much. And I have the pleasure of, with my responsibility of being in charge of the Bureau of Development Services, implementing a lot of what you end up recommending. And in that capacity, I have grown to have an increased respect and appreciation for how important good planning is. So far that my respect is so great that we actually initiated, as I'm proud to say Gil emulated recently, the Living Smart program at the Bureau of Development Services on the design of skinny houses. And not for any reason other than the huge public backlash that has occurred, I'm sure you're aware of, in Portland over the infill issue, particularly these narrow houses on narrow lots. And what I learned from that, and I think Gil did as well, is sometimes the issues in Portland aren't so much density as they are how the project looks and how it feels in a neighborhood. And so I've become a real believer in that. So I've actually toyed with the idea of coming and talking to you all and Gil about upping the minimum standards for house design with the idea of not making them out of reach necessarily for low-income and middle-income homebuyers, but doing some what I think are fairly minor tweaks to have houses fit more the environment that they're built within. And again, I would have never understood this to be the emotional issue that it is had I not been responsible for the construction of these houses and go to neighborhood meetings and hear the feedback, to put it politely. Is huge. So I also when I had the Office of Cable asked that the Planning Commission meetings be televised, and it was interesting, various people had different takes on why I did that. I did that because I watched them. I watched the PDC hearings, I watched the Planning Commission hearings, and it is for us in our job tremendously illuminating to hear your discussions before I end up having to vote on something. It is hugely beneficial to me. So I actually try to catch all of them. And I catch a lot. And Don, you're an excellent member and very thoughtful. And I'm really glad that
that you're going to be back, because I really appreciate your perspective on the commission. So it is a very important body. It's one that I think is critical for, and we are at this critical juncture in the city, and not just in terms of the more esoteric development, but in the neighborhood infill houses. I mean, there's probably nothing more that touches more Portlanders than that. And so I hope we can talk more about that in the future. So I'm really pleased with all of you agreeing to serve on the Planning Commission. It's a challenging, but I think very fun assignment. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Stan.
Welcome aboard. Aye.
Potter.
Well, again, thank you very much. I think that as we move forward into this next century, and Commissioner Adams' remarks about the increased number of people, I think that relationship between the built environment and the people who live, work, and play here is going to be really essential and key to having a city that's livable and that provides the kind of economic incentives that help it continue to flourish. So I appreciate the work you're going to be doing, and I vote aye. Thank you, folks.
Here, can I just make a quick related announcement? Yesterday, the Planning Commission met and had its annual election of officers, and have elected Don Hansen to be the new chair of the commission, president of the commission, beginning next meeting. And they also honored outgoing president Paul Schlesinger, who will be leaving the commission effective today, actually. So I would hope that you would join me in honoring Paul's service, recognizing the years of service he's put into both the Planning Commission and Design Commission.
Yes. Thanks. He's done a great job for our community. So, Paul, if you're listening, thank you. Thanks, folks. Please read the 10:15 time certain.
Item 42, Portland, Oregon Visitors Association update.
Commissioner Adams.
Well, I'm pleased to introduce, as the liaison to the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association, their annual report, and I think that you will be satisfied that they are providing services of great value to the city of Portland. And I don't know which of you is going to begin.
I think that's me.
All right.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and commissioners. I'm Brett Wilkerson, the current chair of Travel Portland's board of directors. I'm also the senior vice president of North Pacific Management, which operates the Heathman Lodge in Vancouver, Washington, the Red Lion Hotel Jansen Beach on the River, and several other lodging and restaurant properties throughout the region. Before I introduce Jeff Miller, Travel Portland's president and CEO, I wanted to give you a couple of facts related to the composition of Travel Portland's board of directors. The board has representatives from all parts of the visitor industry, including hotels, restaurants, attractions, rental car agencies, but it's important to note that businesses you wouldn't normally associate with the industry, but which certainly benefit from increased tourism, are also members, such as PGE, OHSU, and Ashforth Pacific. In addition, the board membership includes representation from partners on the Oregon coast, the Mount Hood region, and other areas, even though the bulk of the economic benefit generated by Travel Portland is felt by the city in terms of direct spending by visitors and tax revenues, positive ripples are felt throughout the state and the region. Jeff can talk more about those partnering successes, so at this point, I'll turn it over to Jeff.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here, Mayor Potter, commissioners. The thing that you will see today is we are changing our name from POVA to Travel Portland, finally. The URL has been Travel Portland for quite some time, but this makes we will have the official change on the 17th at the State of the Industry Address that we do every year. But you'll get to see today, first time publicly, some of the images and the new look and feel of Travel Portland. One of the things to understand is that the logo is not who we are. It just is our name. So as we go flip through the slides, and as you see the pictures with Travel Portland, those are actually business cards. So there are 8 different business cards, and there's a whole new look and feel to our publications and those things that we're doing. We will not have a tagline. It's not easy being green is gone, but we will have headlines. So as we speak to different customers, we'll talk to them in the way that they need to be spoken to. Let's see. How do I do this?
So can you explain the symbolism of the salmon through the brick wall?
You know, we are a quirky city. That one right here. Thank you. We are a quirky city, and that certainly speaks to that quirkiness. You'll notice that there's sunshine and shadow also. Performance measures. This is another one of the business cards, and it really speaks to our indie music heritage. This presentation is really a highlight of our work on behalf of the city, so the quarterly reports have been provided to you separately and provide much greater detail. Dean Runyon just reports that 2007 spending for the visitor industry was $3.6 billion, which was a 5.3% increase. It supported 29,700 jobs and a payroll of $797 million. It also generated $148 million in state and local taxes. Return on investment. It's something I like to talk about a lot because it really guides how we spend our money and what are we getting from that money. In this instance, it's for convention sales and marketing for the city. It's the average daily rate spent plus the daily spend of that visitor times the number of total rooms divided by the city's dollars. It's over 337 groups, 246,000 room nights, $125 million worth of economic impact. Our staff attends 21 national trade shows. We conduct over 120 client site tours of Portland, 3 familiarization trips, which represent 50 associations that have the ability to bring their business to Portland for either single hotel or convention business. And one of our most successful strategies has been the Green Fam. We really took a stand on green and sustainable businesses like American Wind Energy, natural water resources, and we've targeted those in their own familiarization trip where we bring them to town and really show them the excellent product that Portland has to offer. We get green. We also have a FAM trip, as many of you know, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we'll have 20 meeting planners representing 29 groups, and it's a broad array of conventions and meetings that have the potential to come to Portland, so we're very excited and hope you can join some of those. Convention services is something we're also very, very good at. We received the Gold Service Award from Meetings and Conventions Magazine in 2007, but also for the last 10 years. We, for the first time, received the Pinnacle Award from Successful Meetings Magazines. Our job in the convention services world is to connect businesses to those convention and meeting planners and those convention goers. We provided 1,900 leads to businesses last year, 181,000 promotional pieces, 70 pre-convention site tours where we bring those meeting planners here and really take them not only through the center or the hotel but through the city so they get to see all of the great venues, restaurants, and attractions. We also attended 45 pre-attendance building conventions where our team goes to the convention the year prior they're coming to Portland. We put up a booth and we really try and build attendance to get as many people to attend the convention the next year in Portland. So it's a broad array of services that comes out of the convention service department. Return on investment on leisure programs. We have several leisure programs, including the Big Deal, which is a hotel online program where you can book your room, get free parking. We have a coupon book that we work with retail, the restaurants, all sorts of businesses, even Fabric Depot is in there to provide discounts to visitors. We booked over 15,300 room nights last year through the Big Deal. July through December of this year, we booked almost 9,000 room nights, which is a 9% increase. Business is really good there. We have another tactic of working with Southwest.com. We are the destination, preferred destination for 1 week several times a year. In January, there were an additional 2,700 passengers. In April, an additional 5,100 passengers. And in November, we don't have the results yet, but we anticipate an additional 5,000 passengers on Southwest coming into Portland. It's really a terrific program, and we can track that easily with Southwest. We also will do that again this month. We have an online subscription newsletter called Travel Update, which goes to a database of 29,000 people. So we really try and stay in touch with those customers out there. And a new program this year is speaking to what we call e-deals. Of the customers, the 15,000 customers that have booked a Big Deal room night in the past, we e-deal them a new proposition, and we've gained an additional 1,000 rooms just out of that promotion. The Portland Attractions Pass is a fun thing that we do with all of the 10 attractions that you see listed here. We've redeemed 2,400 of these, and what we do is sell them to the consumer, the visitor, at a discounted price, about half price. The attraction gets full price, and we subsidize the other half. So we're really trying to connect not only the visitor with the hotel, but also with the attractions. And I believe Gloria Lee's here with us from the Chinese Garden and can attest to how successful this is. One of the most exciting new programs that we're starting, and it will launch in July, is called Go See Portland. We really know that the consumer wants interactive information. And one of the things that we really found in our branding is that in Portland, the visitor wants to do what we're doing here. We don't have a fisherman's wharf where the locals would never go. So when you come here, you want to do what we do. And this